It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area. Yeah, shout out to Connecticut. We have plenty of listeners in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania. I mean, the signal here at 77 WABC is so strong. It gets, I don't know if it's 500 miles west, maybe 400 miles west, and north and south, and well, whoever's tuning in and floating out in Atlantic somewhere, you could get us there as well. 77 WABC is a tremendous signal. And of course, for all those tuned in online at mybradio.com and at WABC Radio, of course, and on the 77 WABC app, of course, that you pick it up around the world. The Nielsen ratings has us once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Nielsen, of course, is the global measurement and data analytics company. To be top 10 in New York AM radio is a true honor, and a special thank you to you, the great listener of the show, who have come to expect great business content week in and week out. And of course, we're not going to let you down this week. Radio is all about suspense, so should I share? Oh my! I want to share who my guest is, but I'm just gonna, it's radio, so I gotta, just wait to drop more. So yeah. But of course, week in and week out, we cover such a wide range of professions and categories, including sales, social media, entrepreneurship, retail, financial planning, time management, hiring, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank you. Special thank you to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, who plays such an important support role for the show. Srili, Michal, Avigail, Malka, Osher, Miriam, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, Glenn, James, Matt, Leslie, Chris, Tim, thank you. Also, a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. We have a robust YouTube channel. Tonight's episode will be up on YouTube. And in fact, the recent one we had with Beth Comstock, that's already up on YouTube. What a show. We talked about marketing from Marketing 101, the basics to the complicated parts of it. It was all discussed with Beth Comstock, former CMO and vice chair at General Electric. We, of course, have every single episode is up on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all the major platforms that people like to pick up their podcasting. It's all there. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. You can access all of them. You could pick up the interview I just mentioned about with Beth Comstock. Of course, if you want to watch it, it's up there on YouTube. What about the interview I had with Dawn Fay, district president at Robert Half? How about the founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy, Dick Schulz? We've had great guests on this program, and tonight is no different. It's my buddy, Richard Solomon. Richard Solomon is not new here to the program, and for good reason. He's an attorney. He's a consultant. He has such a wide range of areas of expertise that we from time to time say, Richard, we're just going to call and have you on because your areas. I mean, many times, Richard, the backstory of why I call you is because I run in, or not just. I mean, Ken, you're an attorney. Thank God, we're good. But we hear it in the news. We read stories about things that may seem off the wall. But I'm like, hey, an attorney would give good perspective, and from your knowledge of the business world and your involvement with my father's place and your scope is so wide that I'm like, hey, let's have a good conversation with Richard Solomon. So Richard, thank you so much for joining me once again here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for the honor. It is truly an honor, especially a big kudos on the Nielsen ratings.
But thank you.
That is a big deal. I know that you talked about that at the top of the show, but it is a big deal.
This is
New York. It's a big market. And to rise to the top of a very big market is quite an accomplishment.
So I appreciate that, and especially from you, you're on the he's on the other
I'm
side.
On FM.
He's on FM. So Richard understands that, and that's why I point it out, because people, you know, may not realize, and being in the top 10, we recently came in number 3. Now, coming in number 3, remember, on a Sunday night, we're up against, now, depending on the time of year, we could be up against baseball,
football,
you know, football, hockey, you know, basketball, you know, again, depending on the season. And yeah.
And homework.
<'Cause>, we're not supposed to talk about that.
But there's always homework due on Monday. That was pushed off to the last minute.
So, Richard, there's a lot to talk about. And you know, let's not hide the fact, Purim's coming up in a couple of days. So, you know, but yeah, well, I'm
now,
sorry?
Now, Purim is kind of interesting because that's when you turn things around a little
v'nahapachu.
Bit. What's that word?
V'nahapachu. Okay, v'nahapachu. Basically, turn around, turn over, right. Basically upside down.
All right, so let's say, for example, that today you're the guest. What do you think about that? Why not?
Hey,
why not?
What are you doing to me?
When was the last time you were the guest on your own show?
Like, FM is gonna FM's gonna beat AM here.
Well, we're both talk shows.
Okay. All right, Richard. All right.
So why don't we flip the?
All right. Sounds like a wild idea. You know what? Hey, anything goes. Purim's this week. It's fine. It's all good.
Do I need a funny outfit? Even though it's radio.
Oh, Richard, this is great. This is gonna be fun.
So let's. So, by the way,
you're turning the tables. All right.
So, you're listening to Mind Your Business on WABC 770 AM, also on the app. Okay.
Good intro. We're not redoing the intro.
There you go. All right. So, one of the things that you guys do, now, first of all, going back to a radio show you did earlier this year, actually, it was the two that you did, you had this show about like the 17 fundamental.
Thank you.
That was just a blockbuster.
Thank you.
And it was a monologue.
And so
you really were very concentrated in your content, and you really kind of it was very smooth and very, you know, it made so much pragmatic sense. All right, but let's bring that forward one more step. All right,
sure.
So for all of the little people out there in terms of business,
no one's little. Hey, I'm gonna defend my listeners here. Hey, Richard, what are you doing here? I want my ratings to stay good, you know.
But you're a small business, a really small mom and pop business. You know, one person business. Yeah. Those smaller businesses, right? How could they harness the engine of your marketing efforts? Because when you know, maybe the people out there who hear all the guests, who are all these great accomplished people, like, you know, the Beth Comstock. Yes, from GE, you know.
Right,
you know,
sure.
GE's got, you know, if they want to write a check for marketing, they can do it. They just call petty cash. And they write themselves like a big check. I'm sure, you know, it's like no problem, you know. I'm sure people at the lowest levels have good check writing authority. So, but what do you do with efficacy for lower budgets, limited budgets that still get the power out there to get the word out? So if I came to you and I said, look, maybe I wrote a book or maybe I've got a product and it's not – like a new vodka where I'm trying to compete with thousands of existing.
Hey, Purim's coming. Let's talk about the new vodka.
Well, no, we would just use old vodka. You know, because, you know, it's hard to bring certain things to crowded markets. Yeah. But let's say I have something that's niche-y enough. Maybe it's a little app or something like that. I come to you and I say, I need something to get off the ground. You know, it's hazy out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of marketing noise. There's so many shows and the people, you know, the bandwidth out there is very small but very wide.
Yeah.
So like you know, so let's say I have like 100,000 hits on YouTube. Well, is that really a lot? I don't know, because the truth is they're loading up, you know, millions of hours.
In.
Yeah. So what is the budget conscious business owner
to harness
your efforts?
All right, we're going to go to a commercial break. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I thought it was going to be fun. Okay. It's an excellent question. And so let's start first with the foundation. Okay. Foundation is that marketing is a necessity, not a luxury. That I want to just set out at the outset. Whatever you're going to ultimately do, whether you need to harness a firm like BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group, a strong marketing presence, a strong marketing firm, or you just need to do something that, in theory, a graphic designer could bang out, understand that you need to build your narrative out there in the marketplace. In fact, I'm going to quote one of the great lines that came up with Beth Comstock from the shows that we had with her. And she has this in her book. Strategy is a story well told. It's a great line. Okay. Strategy is a story well told. What does that mean? That means that you have to have a story, a narrative, okay? And then you have to say it over and over again. And it doesn't make a difference what industry you're in. Whatever industry you're in, you have to have a story. You have to have a narrative, and you have to say it out there in a creative way with presence. You have to have a penetration factor. You have to get it out there a variety of different ways and say it again and again and again. So that I want to put out there as the framework for the answer. Now, I'm not going to dodge. You asked a good question. What happens if you're on an extremely tight budget? And then the answer is we have to then draw out the box and see how, you know, what is your goal? And then the goal has to very probably will shrink based on the available budget. The way I always address that question, and it comes up all the time, is that, okay, if you have an airplane and you want to fly the plane to Los Angeles, there's a certain amount of fuel that you need for that plane. Let's say you only have half the fuel. You can't afford to fill up the tank. Good, so then the plane will take you to Chicago or St. Louis, whatever, it will take you half the distance. You just can't expect to get the same outcome on a budget that's smaller. However, if your budget is smaller, and it's very important, a business should approach it in a very level way. If they don't have the budget for something, then they should not be jumping in, but should just assign whatever that budget is. And then we work backwards and say, okay, let's see what can be accomplished within that budget. And then, but be realistic, your goal, your vision may need to come down a few notches to accommodate the budget allowance.
Right, but do you have a thing where the plane has landed and they make enough money to refuel and go the further distance?
Yeah, well, that could happen. Again, circumstances change in any given situation. There are companies that start off with a smaller budget and then things started to work out and then they were able to scale, okay? Or vice versa, a company that had to downsize. And it's important, of course, that they keep track of the metrics along the way in order to not to suddenly come with a big surprise, like, uh-oh, the plane's going down, God forbid. You know, you have to know the metrics. Got to keep your eye on the dashboard in order to know exactly where you're holding. Of course.
Now let's go back to narratives. Mm-hmm. Some narratives are much more exciting than others.
Yeah.
Let's say I just wrote a great math book. How do you turn that around so that the narrative
you pick
is
my favorite example.
Is an oofy.
Richard, you picked a favorite example. A math book?
Right. How do we, you know? grammar.
Oh, man. Okay. Now, listen. At the end of the day, a good marketing firm can always jazz up and make something exciting out of really anything. I mean, a couple of months back, we had on Linda Kaplan Thaler, who talked about the Aflac campaign, which was for some type of insurance, right? So it meant Aflac. Now, of course, there was a certain reason why she took that, you know, narrative. But your question is a very fair question, but there are a lot of parameters at play. So really the simple answer is you need to find out that whoever's the owner of the company, what excites them, what are they looking to get through this campaign. Then, of course, you need to keep an eye on, okay, how will I get a return on investment? What are some of the aspirational goals that are behind this? You need to really dig out, which is what we do before we get involved in any campaign, is we dig down to get a good understanding. What's behind it? Is it just to make money? That's not really a good reason. That's a result. Remember, a very important line that's been said here many, many times. Every business at its core exists to solve a problem in the marketplace. That's rule number one. If they're not solving a problem in the marketplace, they're not going anywhere. In general, they're not going anywhere. Every single business solves a problem in the marketplace. So therefore, once you're solving that problem, okay, how are we going to present it to the audience so that they say, oh, you know what? Your company has the solution. I want to use your company. So you have to come up with a good narrative. So you can come up with good narratives, but we actually have to go to commercial break. So, okay. So your tune, yeah, 77 WABC with Richard Solomon here. Yeah. Take us to a commercial break.
All right, let's keep it locked in. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful. But the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Are you struggling to have your voice heard in a loud, busy, and overwhelming environment? It takes 6 seconds or less for consumers to form an impression of your brand. You cannot afford to get drowned out by the world. Having a clear corporate narrative will help your business stand out and go from surviving to thriving. Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, has been helping brands craft their corporate narrative for nearly 3 decades. BLMG put together a guide to help businesses speak with authority and take control of your corporate narrative. Visit BrandStory2020.com for your free Surviving to Thriving Executive Guide for Business Growth. That's BrandStory2020.com to get your free executive guide to helping your business scale. Again, that's BrandStory2020.com. If your business is ready to thrive, visit BrandStory2020.com. BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group. Get ready to tell your story.
We're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. Nah, Richard, you do it.
All right, okay. So, hey, welcome back, everybody. Richard Solomon, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your
My
Business
colleague.
On WABC Radio, 77 AM on the app and all kinds of great platforms. And we're turning the tables in case you just tuned
all right,
in.
It's Purim in a couple days. We, say, hey.
What was that word? What was that?
Vinahapachu.
That's right.
Turn the tables. There you go.
Right. I challenge people to look that up.
Yes, Vinahapachu.
Now, is that with a chuh?
Yeah. Okay. Not that many people can do that.
All right. So
yes,
I attend as a member of the media.
Right,
I attend all kinds of trade shows, and I'm amazed that I find booths where I don't even know what they're doing. They'll say, you know, the
that's
leader,
no good,
right? It'll be like the leader in emerging strategies, and I'm like, well, what is that? You know, where they'll you know, there's they have a name that doesn't really work to help you understand what they do. It could be like something called, like, I don't know, just, you know, Clover Star, right? You know, or like, well, what is that? You know, or just, you know, Gurk Bean. What's that?
He's a, you know, you're a creative guy. You come up with these names on the spot, like,
you know,
whoa.
Gurk Bean Industries. I'm like, what do they do? You know, it's like, you know, the leader, right. You know, or at the forefront. I'm like, at the forefront of what? And then, you know, they have a very nondescript booth. It maybe has a picture of like a star and some glitter.
Oh, no, I want to jump in.
And you're sort of like, well, a lot of times I'll say, what do you do? And then they can't give me the elevator answer.
Oh, no.
And then another time it's like, they say, we do this. I'm like, that's a solution in search of a problem that doesn't really exist in my industry.
So let's go in order. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one is that when a company is out there, rule number one is you should always, does it pass this rule? Tell me what you want to tell me. Tell me what you want to tell me. Am I being clear? Do I have to scratch my head and figure out, like, like, what's going on here? It has to be very, very clear. Now, sometimes people turn around and they say, well, look, Nike is, you know, their swoosh and their slogan is just do it, or Coke is it's the real thing. Let me put that to rest. When a company has a $100 million budget or a half a billion dollar or more than that, whatever the actual numbers are, then you can get away with anything. Like, for example, Geico. Geico can have the little gecko there and just say work home, whatever their campaign is, because they've invested so much behind it, so that you could say just the leader in it. They could take the high road because it's bombarded, it's supported, buffeted by all the different types of marketing around it. So everyone knows what it stands for. Nike, people understand it's not a fish tank company. It's athletic footwear. That's what they do. That's Nike. So they could go with Just Do It because there's enough money behind it, and people understand exactly what the product stands for. However, if you're going to a trade show and the company has a modest budget, let's say a modest budget for a small company would be $10,000 to $15,000 a year in marketing. Let's say that's just a modest budget. Whatever they put out, they have to be torpedo-focused, laser-focused on exactly making sure that it's clear what they do. Shouldn't be just, you know, new horizons. Like, new horizons of what? You know, what do you do? So, for example, if it's legal work, it's accounting work, whatever it is, and whatever specific subset of specialty that company does, it has to be very clearly communicated. So that's number one. Your second question.
Solution in search of a problem. Because sometimes I'll go to Legal Tech, which is the legal industry trade show, and I've covered that as a media, and I've gone as a lawyer, and it's evolved over the years. And sometimes I look at what people have designed for the legal profession, and I'll say, that's not a problem that we actually have. So it's sort of like they've solved a problem that doesn't really exist.
I'll jump in and to say as follows. First of all, rule number one is I always would need to know all the parameters in order to figure out. I'm not just dodging your question. I'll give a standard answer, but I will just preface it by making the following disclaimer, and that is I would always need to dig down to figure out what the actual root of that confusion is in order to answer it properly. But the standard answer is that in general, that a company should not go that way. Companies should not go that way. That they're in search of a problem. That is a I don't want to say a recipe for failure, but there is certainly a red flag, a yellow flag, a red flag for potential failure in that case. Not always. Again, there are people that, you know, if God wants someone to win the lottery, they're going to win the lottery. You know, and the guy could like accidentally fill out the wrong numbers. That, you know, his wife told him, put down these six numbers, and the person read it backwards and then won the lottery. It can happen. You know, God can make anything happen. But in general, every business is successful and exists and is successful if they solve a problem in the marketplace.
Now, when clients come to your group, do you actually do an autopsy of prior marketing efforts to see if it's the marketing or if it's the business?
Yeah. So in general, again, depending on the budget that they have allowed, we do a discovery phase, and that's very, very vital and healthy process really to any type of campaign, and that is to dig down. Why do you exist? What is the buyer persona? Who really is your target market? Are there other markets that can benefit? Are there influencers that can also benefit your market? There's a lot of research that's done initially, and that's key, because at the end of the day, connecting all those dots will turn into clients, and it also establishes the framework, the type of campaign that we need to take. Because, right, if we know exactly who we need to be speaking to and how to craft a message, the campaign itself will be far more successful. But by the way, soon we need to go to commercial breaks. Gotta get a little business done.
I don't watch those things. All right, so you let me know. All right, so one question I've always wondered about is why do so many businesses not have good spokespeople? It seems as though they may have a good idea or they may have some creative people, but they don't seem to have anybody who could actually communicate effectively to the public, to the media, and actually be sort of the voice of the business, or not necessarily the face, because that doesn't really, you know, but the voice, the you know, that content that comes from within. So especially during a crisis, I've seen many businesses have collapsing moments. There's a crisis. They didn't really know who to get. Somebody who's not really an authority comes out. They kind of don't have a lot of information. They speak to the media about some kind of problem in progress. It hasn't really been thought out. There wasn't a disaster plan. And that's one problem. And the other flip side is even when there's some good news, they don't really have a good person to bring a voice to tell the story, the narrative that you've helped craft.
So I'm going to answer it in it's a loaded question.
Well, that's
I'm
going to
answer it with the best answer I could possibly give. You won't believe it. My guest next week's show is James Rosebush. James Rosebush was a senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan. I mean, who was a communicator like Ronald Reagan?
The great communicator.
The great communicator. Yes. So I'm actually going to pose that question to him, even though I could, you know, we could work our way through an answer. And of course, the simple answer is every company should have some type of disaster plan. There should be some type of a plan. And whoever they're going to put out there in front of the mic should be a professional, someone who understands how to handle the media, what to say to the media, what not to say to the media. And, you know, so that the question goes deeper. But you know what? I am going, before we go to commercial break, I just wanted to mention that I will be pitching this question to James Rosebush. I mean, who better than him to answer, to tackle this one? Is that a fair answer?
That's a fair answer.
All right.
And then we have to put the link to that show, to this show.
Absolutely. And we're going to run that. That one's going to be next week, next Sunday. All right, we're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
1-877 Cards for Kids, KARS Cards for Kids. 1-877 Cards for Kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 Cards for Kids, KARS Cards for Kids. 1-877 Cards for Kids. Donate your card today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to cardsforkids.com. That's cards with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cards for Kids. KARS Cards for Kids. 1-877 Cards for Kids. Donate your card today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Are you struggling to have your voice heard in a loud, busy, and overwhelming environment? It takes 6 seconds or less for consumers to form an impression of your brand. You cannot afford to get drowned out by the world. Having a clear corporate narrative will help your business stand out and go from surviving to thriving. Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, has been helping brands craft their corporate narrative for nearly 3 decades. BLMG put together a guide to help businesses speak with authority and take control of your corporate narrative. Visit BrandStory2020.com for your free Surviving to Thriving Executive Guide for Business Growth. That's BrandStory2020.com to get your free executive guide to helping your business scale. Again, that's BrandStory2020.com. If your business is ready to thrive, visit BrandStory2020.com. BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group. Get ready to tell your story.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
And we're back. Mind your business with your successful. Oh, oops.
We've turned the tables. We've turned the tables. That's right.
It's Richard.
So Richard Solomon, Mind Your Business, 77, WABC, 770 AM, and all kinds of great platforms.
Thank you.
With our guest.
He turned the tables on me.
Yitzhak Sofless.
Sneaky guy.
Because he needs to be the guest on his own show. And the mirror thing didn't work. We tried that.
Richard,
so
it's great.
So we're doing all kinds of marketing and other questions,
business,
really kind of getting into the Geschichte.
Yes, that's right. Getting into the Kishkes.
There you go. All right. So we're talking all about marketing and things like that.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that always kind of comes to mind is the efficacy between sort of websites, the cell phone, the content, the message. Advertising, that whole ecosystem of things. How do you put it all together?
Okay. Excellent question. Number one is I want to establish a framework. Okay. And that is there's a concept, which is a critical concept, and called multi-channel marketing. There are many ways to explain that, but one of the simplest and most understandable ways of explaining that is that you also want to reach people through a variety of different senses, right? There are 5 senses. So if you're doing something with video, so video involves the eyes and the ears. Sometimes it could be some type of marketing that involves even taste or smell or feel, touch and feel. You want to approach and reach the mind through a variety of different ways. Now it's not just the 5 senses, but it's different types of ways of communicating. So if a certain business is running print ads, and then they're also doing video monologue series, and they're doing social media, so you're getting the person when they open up a newspaper or a magazine, you're getting them when they're on their phone or at the computer, or they're driving the car on the radio, for example. That is extremely helpful, and it increases... It builds top-of-mind awareness in a very strong way because the touch point happened through a variety of different channels. Now, of course, as was discussed at the very beginning of the program, it does depend on budget, of course. You know, the bigger the budget, then the more channels you can leverage. But when a company is approaches and you leverages the various different channels for multi-channel marketing, they have a much stronger presence on people's minds, and that's why it is important for a company to have a plan, to have to, let's say, press releases, to have media coverage, then to have print ads, to have radio, to have social media, video, etc. Now, one more point before we move on to any other questions that you may have up your sleeve there.
Here we go. It's right here.
That is
next one's right here.
Rule number one is reach them where they are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rule number one, reach them where they are. So if you're reaching out, so once you do the homework about your particular demographic that's interested in your product, are they on social media? Are they people living on their phones? Are they on the computer? Are they in the car? Etc. You want to reach them where they are. So therefore, if it does not make sense to run the same way that you run print ads in different newspapers, right? If let's say your target market reads Fortune magazine, so then it makes sense to go on Fortune magazine over Time magazine because your readers are reading Fortune magazine. So that's the platform you need to be in. So whichever platform is the platforms are being consumed for media by your target audience, those are the ones that you should be putting your resources in.
We've seen radio change so much in the last few years some very iconic stations.
And by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, you know, but mazel tov to 77 WABC. We're now owned by John Katsimatidis, the Red Apple Group. Right. Yeah, by the way, I worked with John Katsimatidis when he was running for mayor back in 09.
Wow.
Yeah, in the end, he stepped aside for Mike Bloomberg, the whole story there. But, you know, John is, a very great the guy. That's a complimentary expression for someone that has great vision and great, just has his eye on a lot and is able to see, you know, the corners of the room in terms of in the whole picture, the bright picture. And he's now the owner of 77 WABC.
So we've seen over the last couple of years a real change in the radio industry. Some very iconic stations, KFOG out in California, WPLJ 95.5 in New York, turned off its signal. Other stations all over the place have either changed the formats or been sold. Mm-hmm. How effective is radio today, and where does radio still fit within the marketing universe?
Excellent question. Radio, and I know that some people might say, well, it's going to be a predictable answer, but let me just back it up. Radio is extremely powerful, and here's why. Okay, so let me just go with that. First of all, I do want to explain that anything that's created on radio, of course, in today's environment, is re-leveraged onto all the podcasting channels. So therefore, when someone says, well, what's the point of going on radio? You can always go on podcast. Yeah, well, guess what? If you're on real radio, you have the credibility. That's really the key word, the authenticity, the credibility of being, especially on 77 WABC, and then it gets repurposed and rebroadcast. Of course, it goes on iTunes and Google Play and you know, Spotify and all those channels, of course. Okay, but the real differentiator for radio, and of course this applies to podcasting as well, is you have a chance to explain the narrative. You have a chance to tell your story. Corporate storytelling is the rage, and we're going to talk, of course, with James Rosebush about it next week's show. But when someone runs a print ads are great, and articles in the newspaper are great. But when someone has a chance, like we're talking now, you could pick up on the cues, the verbal cues, the way things are explained. Did I raise my voice? Did I talk lower? All that is communicated through the spoken word, through the verbal narrative. That is the key differentiating factor that of course radio has over other forms of media.
Whether it's radio, whether it's marketing, how do you combat the problem of attention span that has diminished over the years? I noticed from all the analytics that people don't have the focus to just sit, you know, and just sit and not really be occupied.
Now it's Zitzfleisch.
Now it's like if you're on the bus or the subway, you got to whip out your cell phone or the paper, or you have to do something. And even then, you're only looking at a web page for 30 seconds, or you're flipping from this to that. And people are moving to station.
Richard,
how did you battle that?
Well, station to station was always a thing in the car. You hit your preset button, went to that, boom, you went to the next one. But the fact of the matter is, yes, attention spans are much shorter than they used to be. But that's life. That's life. So you have to be engaging. You got to hold on to them as best you can, because the fact that what you just described is the fact. Attention spans have gone down, for better or for worse. That's just the way it is.
How do you incorporate that reality into what you do?
Okay, so the simple answer is to try to be more creative. Okay. Because any time a person is more creative in their approach, the attention span will hold on to the person. Yeah, because they want to watch. People want to be stimulated. That's you got, you're playing with the brain approach. You basically want to keep the individual engaged. The more that they'll be engaged, the less drop-off factor.
You mean like turning the tables like that? Okay, that's different.
We got to go to a commercial break. So who's going to handle it?
All right, we'll be right back. Yitzhak Zoflis, our guest today.
Thank you,
WABC,
Richard.
Mind your business. We'll be right back.
He's great. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is Richard Solomon. If you're having a corporate event or a seminar or workshop and you're looking for a public speaker that's just a little bit different, why don't you give me a try? 516-371-4924. I'm a radio host. I'm a lawyer. I'm an author. I've been a lecturer. I've got a lot of really great war stories. And if you want to learn more, go to thesolomonchannel.com and you'll see all the great videos and everything that we've done over the years. We've done a lot of great stuff, including cash flow dynamics, things about small business, dealing with regulation, and surviving the challenges in this very tough and competitive business environment. 516-371-4924. 516-371-4924.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Are you a life insurance agent or financial advisor? Then this message is for you. At Hidden Gem Life Solutions, we specialize in purchasing life and viatical settlements. We convert unneeded life insurance policies into profit for you and your client as listed. By partnering with the Hidden Gem team, you can make over $50,000 possible commission on a single deal. Visit HiddenGemLS.com and get started. Turn your client's liability into an asset by visiting Hidden Gem's website, HiddenGemLS.com. That's HiddenGemLS.com. Or you can call us at 516-342-5516.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Lisa Saftless right here on 77 WABC. And we're having this enjoyable show, this give and take with my buddy. I don't want to say partner in crime. I want to get people scared out there. But my comrade, radio comrade, Richard Solomon, the noted attorney and consultant, thank you again for joining me here.
It is always a pleasure not only to be here, but to really listen to you on Sunday nights.
Thank you.
I work a lot of Sunday nights, and one of the things that's great is put the radio on in the background, the 77, and not only that, but if there was a way to take your library of all those books of all these people and somehow take it and just shoot it into your head, the wealth of information would be unbelievable.
It's true. I mean, thank you. We're approaching 5 complete years since we started the show. We started in July of 2015. So we're in February now, or March. A couple of months away from completing, that's roughly 250 shows. And there were some that had multiple guests. So I've interviewed over 350 people. It's exciting.
And they're very different. Different approaches. They have different philosophies. A lot of battlefield experience.
Yeah.
Real hard knocks. Wisdom galore. And I think that's just great because you can go to all the school you want. Yeah. But I think I think of almost all your guests as kind of educators.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is they're bringing so much wisdom and experience that and the stories that they tell, from the heart of struggle, of triumph over adversity, and success.
I like to call it a virtual university, to some degree. The Wall Street Journal had a column. This goes back, I think, around two and a half years ago. A front page story that basically said universities fail to teach students how to think. And I was in the Wall Street Journal, so I don't want to get in trouble for this. This was the Wall Street Journal that wrote that story. So this show is about brass tacks, real world experience, real world knowledge. And, maybe give a shout out to my guest next week. I'm going to have James Rosebush on the show. I'm going to ask him that question that we talked about.
I have a feeling that is going to be a very high impact show.
Thank you.
Just Thank knowing.
You. I had him on a couple of times.
Just knowing his resume, his experience, and his effectiveness. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, Richard, I let you hijack the first whatever, the first couple
Partners
of parshas.
That,
yeah,
hijack, I mean, all it's these criminal terms.
There's only around 10, 15 minutes left to the show. I'm going to turn it back around. We're going to do the Vin Hapachu back on you, okay? Because you have a lot to share with the word. I, of course, appreciate, you gave me the opportunity, put me on the spot there, and gave me the opportunity to talk about Bottom Line Marketing Group and, of course, the great team that we have here and how we service. And I'm going to say it straight out. If we're looking to help companies scale, if you're ready to scale, give me a shout, 718-412-3505, 718-412-3505. We're looking to help you scale your company. But now I'm going to continue to do my job of making sure that I get my guests to share their experience, their talent, their knowledge, and therefore I'm going to turn to you. Richard, you're in... you're a noted attorney, and you're in court quite a bit in representing your clients. As I've said here on the show in the past, make sure he's on your side. In fact, what's the website? How can people find that? How to get in touch with
you? Well, the best way is to get on the internet, The Solomon Channel.
Yeah, I love it. The Solomon Channel. Because he has a show on FM. He wrote a book, How to Fight in Court and Win. Small Claims Court and Win. He has a lot of stuff. He's a public speaker. So again, thesolomonchannel.com.
That's pretty much
straight up.
That's the central focus. And then from there, you can see all the cool things that are part of what we do.
So perhaps you could share. My understanding is there's been quite a few changes in terms of the small claims court, in terms of fines, in terms of approach. Perhaps you could share and let our listeners, get in on this.
This is actually news to me. One of my clients said that they were going to bring a case in small claims court because the new limit was 10,000. And I said, no, the limit's 5. And then they said, no, it's 10. And I looked it up at the nycourts.gov mm-hmm. website. And sure enough, New York City raised the limit on small claims courts to $10,000. And I'm like, wow, because when you think about it, legal fees are very, very prohibitive.
Right.
Especially the smaller the case. You have like a $2,000 case. You're going to really hire a lawyer to practice.
Right, and you're going to burn out the money before you make anything back.
The time and just the schlepping to the lawyer's office and explaining the case. But now it seems that they've raised the limit to $10,000. And that gives a lot of businesses with collection issues.
Right.
The impetuous to go in there, and maybe it's like, you know what? These people owe me 9, they owe me 10. Even if they owe you 11, you'd sue for 10 because, So it's sort of worthwhile because you still don't have to pay for an attorney because the small claims court rules haven't changed. It's just that they adjusted the limit. And the truth is there's a lot of debt out there that people want to collect. There's disputes, property damage, accidents. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, $5,000 may have been okay for other times, but currently people are fairly sophisticated and they do have issues and they shouldn't be constrained by a money limit. So that what's great about small claims court is you can go to court. You don't need a lawyer. There's really not a lot of things that you need to know about evidence and procedure. It's fairly simplified. It's very important that business owners take advantage of it. You don't really need a lawyer. You just make sure you have good backup, good documentation, good invoices. You paper your trail. You do all the common sense things, mm-hmm. and you tell your story. And the fee for going to court is very small. It's a small transaction fee. You pay it to the clerk. They take care of the serving of the papers mm-hmm. and what the court calendars are. And essentially, you show up. You tell your story, and if you're defending, you present your defense. Everybody's got their papers. Most days now, everybody's got email and text, so you just kind of print all that stuff out, mm-hmm. and you bring it with you, or a photo, or estimates, and things like that. And everybody kind of tells their story. A impartial person, whether it's the judge or people who are volunteers for the court, look that evidence over, and they make a decision, and then that's it, and you're good to go. But if you think about it, Let's say you have a lot of receivables and they're piling up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do send somebody to small claims court once in a while just to clean them up.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Another trend that I see, talk about trends, because there's always trends are very important in business to see where things are going. Mm-hmm. A lot more regulation than there's ever been. There's more license requirements now than ever been. There's more educational requirements than there've ever been. There's more regulatory inspections than there have been. In construction, they've changed the number of hours you need for certain kinds of safety classes that have been upped. Things involving real estate licenses, they've changed that. And you need more education in the employment. There's certain educational or training that you have to do that didn't exist years ago. So one of the things that I tell people who are business owners is find out what the new obligations are. Talk to your compliance people. Talk to your insurance people. Talk to your accountants. Talk to the attorneys. Talk to your marketing people. There's also, you need to make sure you have disclaimers out there. Make sure your disclaimers are concurrent with all the new rules and regulations out there. Maybe, you know, all the content that you've had up on the web for 10 years needs to be freshened up as far as maybe copyright notices, maybe your compliance issues. I know that there's certain things that have come up in terms of accessibility, in terms of the way you transact business, the way you communicate warnings, how you represent things. It's time. It's a new decade. Time for fresh new content that reflects all. And because the economy is pretty good right now overall, it's a good time to invest in yourself, in your business.
And a show that we did at the beginning of 2020, you talked about some – it was a really good show. I actually encourage the listeners to go back and listen to it, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. You talked about some best practices. And as any good professional knows, you can never review these things often enough, right? Because when, God forbid, something happens like, oh, why didn't I do that? What are some best practices that – kind of any small businesses should have down in terms of record keeping and making sure that they back up things, some best practices that are just good common sense tips for any small business out there?
Hire the best people is the first tip. Hire the most competent professionals that you can find, whether it's marketing, accounting, legal, compliance. Call the people that you buy services from. Insurance brokers and vendors. Am I getting the best prices? You know, you may have paid the same phone bill for 30 years. Have you ever called up your carrier and say, are there any promotions or specials that I could take advantage of? Can I upgrade? Can I get a free upgrade? Could I get maybe a little faster internet for no extra money because I'm a legacy customer. I've been around for so long. What's my reward for being a loyal, good customer? You want to make sure that you're on top of the trends in your business. Do you go to enough trade shows and read enough trade papers to be current?
To stay up to date.
Right. Because it's not so much that you need to sort of know what's going on from, quote, the mainstream media, because that's too general.
Right.
If you're in a trade, if you're in medicine, if you're in teaching, if you're in law, you really need to still find out what the trends are. What's going on? What's going on in real estate? What are the laws that they're proposing? What is the impact? If you think about it, look what the apps did for, the equivalent of car sharing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, long time ago there were taxis.
Right.
Then they came up with the green taxis.
That's right.
Right. That changed the dynamics.
Right.
So it was the yellow cabs, and there were the green cabs.
Right. Boroughs.
Right. Then there were these other things. These other private companies. I don't want to mention anybody's name because, but that shattered the whole business. These ride sharing companies, that changed everything. And then the question is, what's going to change next? Will driverless cars change that?
Turn over the market.
Right. One question I always want to ask I go to court a lot for, vehicle related things, especially trucks. And I noticed that a lot of smaller towns really make a lot of revenue. Yeah. Revenue is kind of a funny word, but they receive a lot of proceeds on the basis of fines and penalties and things like that. And it's like, well, what are you going to do when the driverless cars don't speed?
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And they don't make an improper turn.
That's real income they don't have, that's going to be missing.
Yeah, you know, and other, you know, and look at trends like libraries. Our libraries, physical libraries with walls and walls of books, 40 years from now, is that going to be relevant? You know, if you're, let's say you're an educational institution, do you necessarily want to invest in a book-based library if books are not going to be the future?
All on the iPad. Richard, we are almost out of time, around 60 seconds left. Perhaps you could share a takeaway with the listeners of Mind Your Business.
The most important thing is to communicate. Communicate with your people, with your clients, with your vendors. Don't take it for granted that your clients and your customers are always going to know what's going on, going to tell you what's going on, and always be there. Show interest, be interested, communicate with them.
Richard Solomon, you can find out more information about him by visiting thesolomonchannel.com.
Thesolomonchannel.com.
Well, we're out of time, but tune in again next Sunday night. And, of course, we're giving you the heads up. It's going to be none other than James Rosebush. He was a senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan. He was the chief of staff to Nancy Reagan. We're going to talk all about communication, corporate storytelling, and, of course, we're going to talk about President Donald Trump and his thoughts of his communication style, etc. So tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.